Before they were engineers, many of the creative minds at LEGO were kids who received a special gift, leading them down a path to build worlds at LEGO. This year, spark curiosity and start your holiday traditions at the LEGO store. With millions of unique sets available for the special person on your list, there's something for everyone. Every gift has a story. Start building your story today. Learn more at lego.build/shutdown. That's lego.build/shutdown.
Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. You are now having the hatred of 1,000 rivalries, of 1,000,000 hearts all beating the same bilious blood piped into your ears all at once, because you are listening to the Rivalry Week edition of the Shutdown Fullcast, where we preview the end of civilization as we know it, the battle of ways of life. Yeah, we're talking about, you know, UCF, USF. Two entirely different civilizations and cultures clashing.
Those assholes on the other side of your state who share nothing in common with you whatsoever, or maybe in a neighboring state.
Those poor and or rich folk.
Capulets and Capulets with neck tattoos.
So Fresno, so San Diego State's involved in this. All right. That's good. Of all of the great rivalry summaries or non-rivalry summaries I've ever seen, the one piece of Twitter video where somebody at the San Diego State Stanford game pointed the camera over at the Stanford tailgate, and it looked really polite and clean, and everyone was eating off of like paper plates, and goes, "Stanford tailgate," and then turns to the left and it looks like Burning Man, right? Like SDSU tailgate. It's like, these people understand it. They get it. They know the core of what Rivalry Week is. We have like 1,000 games to talk about.
I think that is what everyone pictures Rivalry Week as in their minds. But from the outside, like Michigan and Ohio State, I'm sorry, you're the same people. I'm sorry. We'll make jokes about one of you being like history lawyers and one of you being unemployed MMA fighters. But those are all surface level jokes. You're the same people.
Bruh. I work at landscaping. Okay. Right. The fight game's going to happen. You just got to believe. And it's controlled by people who aren't letting me have a chance.
Also, whereas Michigan State. Shh.
I work in landscaping, yeah, for a World War II reenactment society.
That's it. Yeah, our sweatshirts are slightly different.
Yeah, this is a real house divided situation for us here on the show, because obviously while we love Michigan and their money cannon and the way it results in us having to stick needles into Spencer's body, we also really love Marcus Hall and the way he chooses to express his emotions on television.
Wait, so Ohio State is just Michigan but bad with money? Fiscally irresponsible Michigan?
Please send your retorts to this to @38Godfrey.
Always Godfrey. Gee, why can we never punish Bill?
Because I'm afraid of Bill.
That's true.
Godfrey's too pretty to be killed.
Oh yeah, there's no way he's a T-1000. T-1000 wouldn't bitch that much.
No, look at those cheekbones. My God.
Also, no robot would root for the Falcons. They could do that math.
No, it's illogical.
Hey, man, you root for the Falcons? Option menu. No. 9. No, DeSeo.
Give me your bike keys and your
Please
Patriots
send your
hat.
Michigan and Ohio State opinions to @ReaganBattalion.
Even better.
Send them there.
Boy, let's just start on Thursday. Egg Bowl!
Yes!
Egg Bowl.
My favorite.
Bagel Ed Begley.
My favorite rivalry game every single year is the Egg Bowl. Every single year. There is nothing better. There is nothing to me that is more college football, because no one wins. No one benefits. The results are nonsensical. They're balanced in that the team that needs to win usually loses. The team that needs to lose usually wins.
This year, it's not even clear that there is a team that needs to win.
It's like, find me some stakes here. Find
there are none.
That makes sense. There's none.
There's like Mississippi State. If you win, maybe you sneak into the Citrus Bowl. Mississippi State. If you lose, maybe you fall to the, I don't know, Liberty Bowl. That's it. Those are the stakes. The only stakes are one of you will be mad. That's it. That's all you really care about here.
So mad.
the stakes are similar to last year. Not as many people are paying attention, but you know, really when you get down to it, it's just they fucking hate each other. Never forget last year we had DK Metcalf peeing in Mississippi State's end zone and Breland Speaks waving to Dan Mullen on the sideline. Those are the only two things anyone actually remembers from that game.
Things
like that will happen again.
I mostly appreciate that we insist on playing this game on Thanksgiving itself, the holiday where we're supposed to, you know, reflect on the good things in life, see how we are more alike than different, come together and enjoy the company of one another, and the Egg Bowl just is the opposite.
No, the Egg Bowl is true to the actual origins of Thanksgiving.
Help, I'm dying. Please give me your food.
Yeah.
People killing each other.
Gunshots. Oh, well, here, have some jerky.
Right. You're not gonna like steal my land later. No. We're just having some cornbread. It's fine.
Yeah, this is also very, I think we should be thankful for having two quarterbacks playing in this game who are exact opposites, and that you have Jordan Tamu, who is really capable of passing for like 500 yards and a loss. It's one of his skills. He's the new Pat Mahomes. Yeah, Jordan Tamu threw for 580 yards and four TDs. Yeah, they lost by 80 points. It was amazing. No clue how they did it. And Nick Fitzgerald, who in the last couple of weeks has gotten surprisingly efficient, like going 15 for 19 with four TDs, kind of efficient somehow. That feels like a trend that won't hold. I feel like this is just going to be an embarrassment of each team's mutual embarrassments and weaknesses, because this is the Egg Bowl. I don't expect anything good to happen. I expect it to be painful, spiteful, and bad, and I cannot wait to watch it at 7:30 p.m. Eastern on Thursday.
Friday. Jeez, which of these terrible early games do you want to? Do you want to talk about any of these terrible early games?
We sure don't have to.
Nebraska, Iowa. You've seen this game 1,000 times before.
It'll have 6 points,
and then it'll have 17. And oh man, boy, what a blowout that was.
Yeah, that's fine. I think we can skip straight to. I mean, does Houston Memphis bear mentioning? That'll have 6,000 points.
Mm-hmm.
And then the winner will lose to UCF.
Yep.
That's simple. Can we Virginia Tech?
Well, I would like to talk about Houston very briefly just to so Major Applewhite was talking about Ed Oliver in a press conference this week. Basically like the whole, is he going to play again? Is he just going to stay out and go to the NFL, stay healthy, blah, blah, blah. And he was actually surprisingly frank about it. And he was like, you know, I see both sides of this. You know, we're trying to win a championship, not a national championship or anything, but a championship. Want to keep playing with your teammates. Yep, 100%. Finish what you started. Sure. Get all that. So that's one side. On the other side, he's like, $40 million. Like, damn. You just really laid the case out there, didn't you? Like, yeah, you know what? You could go outside and have fun with your friends, or you could be rich for the rest of you. You know, who's to say? A lot of choices.
You could maybe win the AAC West and possibly earn a trip to the Birmingham Bowl, or your great grandchildren could be rich.
You know, both sides. It's a hard choice to consider. All right, I'm sorry. We can move on past the noon games now.
I was going to get to the record in case someone may have forgotten that Virginia and Virginia Tech, the last time that the Cavaliers beat the Virginia Tech Hokies. Do any of you know it off the top of your head?
I want to say it's like 2004.
You're real close.
I think it's further than that.
It's 2003. The last time that they won against the Hokies was 2003, a 35-21 victory. That was at Charlottesville. So that was 2003. Since then, man, I just got nothing but Welsh Scrabble for you. Just a bunch of L's.
But now
a bunch of L's I can see.
But now this game, unlike Egg Bowl, this game has major stakes. Virginia Tech, your precious bowl streak on the line here. Not only do you need to win this game, but then you have to beat your late scheduled Marshall a week after this, which I think they're technically going to bail on if they lose this game. I'm not really clear how that all works.
Yeah, Marshall will be out a game, still get paid, but will not have to do anything for it. So, Marshall, you're rooting for Virginia here. Virginia, if they snap Virginia Tech's bowl streak and the rivalry losing streak, and at the same time, Florida, the next day, Florida beats FSU. Do you know who has the longest bowl streak then?
Who?
Wisconsin?
Georgia. Wow. Georgia has the longest bowl streak.
Cool.
Jim Donnan lives again.
Lost to UCF, though. So when UCF was bad.
That did happen.
So.
Speaking of UCF, they're playing USF. This game was awesome last year. It's probably not going to be this year.
Oh, no. This game was a screaming, like, banshee of a matchup last year, and had an insane fourth quarter featuring, I believe, 3 lead changes in the last 4 minutes of the game, maybe 5. Anyway, absolute heater, which means that, no, they're not doing that again, especially because South Florida, remember at one point South Florida was like 6-0?
Yeah.
Like, oh, man.
Yeah, yeah. You didn't want to look too closely at that 6-0.
Though. Yeah.
No, we don't need to anymore. That's fine. That's
problem solved.
Yeah, no, they were the handsome kid in middle school. Never be the handsome kid in middle school, right? Like, surely, as an adult, they will only wax handsomer. Nope.
So. UCF, as of the playoff rankings released tonight when we're recording this, they're what, still 9?
They're up to 9. They jumped shitty ass Ohio State.
Okay. How many things have to happen for them to get in the playoff at this point?
The SEC has to decline a bid like the Ivy League.
Okay.
They both have extremely high academics standards, so the SEC just joins its brethren in the Ivy League and refuses to play. Clemson loses to Pitt and South Carolina. Notre Dame declares independence from the playoff. So let's see. Now you got Oklahoma, Wazoo.
Wazoo loses the Apple Cup or the Pac-12 championship.
Utah wins the Pac-12. Mm-hmm. Texas wins the Big 12. Northwestern wins the Big 10.
No, hold on. You're telling me Texas is not getting in, even with 3 losses. You're convinced Texas wouldn't get in over UCF because of how fucked this is.
Okay, so Kansas beats Texas, and then that would put West Virginia in, right? West Virginia wins the Big 12.
Okay.
Northwestern wins the Big 10, obviously.
Right.
UCF wins its next 2 games by, let's say, 50 points each. I think they can straggle in as a 4 seed at that point.
God. It's going to take some work.
Yeah. Mainly you're counting on SEC academics, so.
Should be fine. Either that or Georgia Tech.
See, I like that, folks, what you're hearing here is a Florida fan trying to squirm out of that Peach Bowl against UCF.
Yep, that's what it is.
Damn right, actually. Yeah. Later.
That's going to be bad.
Nope. 9.
Because they care a lot more than you do.
Booyah.
No, I know. They're on Twitter. They let us know how much they care.
Yeah,
boy, are they. On.
Yeah. All 18 of them. Like,
boy, are they.
I really wish Russian bots would just turn to defending the cause of UCF football.
No, like, I'm pretty sure they did. Yeah.
They did? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they have 35,000 fans and somehow 70,000 Twitter mafia members.
Dear Gator,
this isn't PAPN, so we're allowed to say that.
Yeah, there are on Friday two crucial games. That would be Oklahoma at West Virginia, which is that's for all of it, y'all. That's the Big 12, undoubtedly.
Most of it, yeah.
Imagine having to play a football game after Morgantown Thanksgiving when you're not from West Virginia. If you're from West Virginia, you're used to it. But Oklahoma is not. So just imagine that for a moment.
We had a turducken. It's a turkey and a duck and a raccoon.
Also, the turkey was wild turkey. Did I not mention that?
Also, Also, the duck was alive.
It might have been a man.
The fight makes the tape.
Yeah. Fight keeps it vital. And by wild turkey, by the way, we mean wild turkey. Just a bottle of it. Shoved into the whole thing.
So it was a drunk duck stuffed in a living raccoon.
Yeah.
Welcome to the great state of West Virginia. Wild and wonderful.
Then we cooked it inside a pepperoni roll. Look at
cooked?
It cooked what?
Well, left it on a couch and it waited for nature to take its course.
Waited for fire, yeah.
That this game, probably the most realistic shot we have at seeing a game with, what, 100 points?
Yes.
Yeah, NFL folks, who you enjoyed your little Rams-Chiefs, like the first game you've ever seen with 100 combined points. Cool, we get that once a week. Maybe tune in for this. Because these two teams declined to play defense.
Were NFL fans like time travelers from the 1900s come to, you know, the early 1900s, they come to our time, they're like, what marvelous iron horses you, oh man.
It was kind of bizarre. Like, I figured most NFL fans would be like, oh, that was horrible. No defense at all, you know, just based on, I guess, expecting consistency after how they've talked about our sport, particularly the Big 12. No, it was just unanimous. Greatest game in football history. And like, yeah, sure, it was great. If you like, you know, Cal Wazoo.
But think about like what some of those other fans have had to watch, like the Bills.
I think there was a competence. I think there was a quality halo over this game because it involved the Rams and the Chiefs. If we were watching this game and it were something like, I don't know, you tell me two really bad. If it were the Falcons and who?
Right.
The Bears.
The Bears. Yeah.
Okay. If it were the Falcons and the Bears, we would be saying things like, oh, LOL.
Trash defense. Trash. Yeah.
This is just trash defense. Terrible execution. Yeah, I think that's acceptable to say at any football game, along with what happened. What happened should just be a sign that you hold up at anything.
And then your last game of Friday. God.
One note about Oklahoma, West Virginia.
Yeah.
81. The over is 81.5.
Pretty big. It's pretty big.
What's the Sandman doing there?
I have OU by, I think, a point. I should have stuck around and waited because it pushed down to a pick'em, but a point doesn't matter much.
Okay.
I'm not touching the over-under. I'm assuming it's over.
the next game that is also crucial, world-changing, you know, a matter of life and a slightly less plush Pacific Northwestern life is Washington at Washington State. The weather for this game, oh dear God, it's bad. It's bad. It's everything that you want. You know, sometimes when you turn on the Apple Cup, you just see icy mist floating across the screen, mm-hmm. right? And you go, wow, if I were describing this, I would use something like the words icy mist, but not rain, because it's not wet. No, it's just mist with ice in it. Yeah, that's because it's real.
That's the famous Sierra mist. You've heard
that
of
that. Sounds like something you see in a Mario game where it's like you can jump on the clouds of ice to
when you move through the air and there's these little twinkling noises.
Yeah, that's exactly
what Pac-12.
Somehow the noises are angry.
Twinkle. The weather for this game, it should be slightly rainy and around 30 degrees.
Somehow 20 degrees and rainy. How'd they do that?
Perfect fireball weather is what you're telling me.
In so many ways, as in either drink it or set yourself on fire to stay warm.
Hello, let's have a fireball picnic, kids.
Yeah. So ball security, I mean, might be an issue, but if Washington State's ever going to get over on Washington in this current era, you know, Gardner Minshew and this crew is the time to do it, especially because Washington, they're not going to blow anybody out. They won't blow Wazoo out. It's just not happening this year.
God, I really want Wazoo to win this game. And I'm already mm-hmm. like uncomfortable with that fact because I feel like I'm going to get hurt.
I've already prepared myself for them to lose. emotionally. That's how badly I want them to win. I've already accepted their loss.
That's just smart. I mean,
you're saying you're not excited about a Washington Utah Pac-12 game? Title game.
Oh my god!
About a 6-5 Pac-12 title game in front of 95 fans. In the
hey, everybody! We both teams have decided we're going to play this with a running clock. Goal is to get out of here in 72 minutes. Let's go!
Heat my dinner up.
Oh wait, it gets better. Washington Northwestern Rose Bowl.
What is wrong? Why are you like this?
Let's go for 58 minutes in that one.
Jesus Christ.
58 minutes and 18 points between the two teams. Let's roll.
A lot of good stuff. A lot of good stuff. Speaking of moving to Saturday, speaking of a game in which the dormant, put upon lesser brother has a chance to finally break a streak and go to a major bowl, lowly beleaguered Michigan is favored in Columbus, Ohio.
Ooh, I didn't know they were favored.
No, they're favored. And it started at 2 and it's up to 4. No pressure.
Good
that's,
God.
That's a lie. Lot of pressure. A lot of pressure.
Tickets for this game are obscenely expensive on StubHub right now. The cheapest the cheapest you can get in for right now, $250 for like a very top of one of the end zones.
I've been in those seats. They're grim.
They look grim.
You kids, money isn't real, just like jail.
Just like jail in Columbus, especially. Oh man, do you know what we might get? Oh, if Michigan beats Ohio State in Columbus, we might get it's been a minute. It has been a hot minute. We might get tear gas in Columbus.
Oh, yeah. Jesus.
The most beautiful sight of all. I think.
Bartak Buckeyes.
And that's. It's hard to believe since Ohio State fans have been so calm and rational all year.
Yeah.
It's that pre workout, bro. The pre workout's got me unstable, okay?
Just breathe pre workout, yeah.
This is a Gainesville of an entirely different sort.
I think this is the. The anguish and agony game of the year. Just not only the stakes and the rivalry, I get all that, but like, man, can you imagine the fucking what the losing fans in this game are going to put themselves through afterward? Like, coming up, you have Michigan, you have 7 years of losing to these people you can't stand. Your best season in years can be ruined like by Ohio State, just like it was a few years ago, just like it was a few years before that. On the other side, Ohio State fans, you know your team is trash, but you know all you have to do is beat these people you always beat and everything is restored and you're good as new again. So you have this like high confidence, but it's only based on stuff that's happened, you know, not in this year. Like I think both fan bases are like projecting confidence, trying to talk themselves into confidence for this game. And one of those house of cards is just going to come shambling down. And I can't say it feels mean to say I'm looking forward to that, but I guess I do want to witness
mean.
It.
You're mean. You're looking forward to it. That's okay.
It's just like I want to see a train wreck as long as like, oh, everyone walked away eventually. Sure.
This week in Schadenfreude, we'll be here to pick up those pieces. I feel confident.
Oh, boy.
Oh, listen, it's going to be, I can't think of who it's going to be worse for, but the idea of Urban Meyer exiting the job for the last time as Ohio State coach in Columbus to a cloud of like booze and tear gas. With the snipers, because there are snipers up there, right? With the snipers scanning the crowd, I'll be like, oh, Ohio, you can just chill for a minute, but I always know what's under the surface there. Just bunch of little budding fascists, all of you. Just lead us, Iron Man. New Iron Man. Give us a new dictator. That's all y'all really want. Is a 275-pound bench press at least.
Listen, Tony Stark's got health problems too, right?
Yeah. Bro, you know how sweet it would be to have that heart? You wouldn't even have to worry about cardio. Just walk it. That's it. The gains would be sick. You like reactor heart? I'm getting to a 400 bench press by next week.
Also, both of them are no longer defense contractors.
I won't make weapons of war anymore. I won't do it.
I will no longer defend anything.
Yeah, Greg Schiano's out of that business. He's humanitarian now. He just gives things away, like long plays.
I call this the Greenpeace defense.
You're the Rainbow Warrior. Dwayne Haskins.
Defensive coordinator Ultron.
It would all work so much better if you weren't involved, people. I am most excited in this game about watching Dwayne Haskins versus the Michigan defense because I don't think it's going to go real well because he's not going to have a whole lot of support in the run game because Ohio State cannot run the ball normally, and now they're going up against Michigan's defense. Yeah, it's going to be that's the whole game right there.
The other possibility you should prepare yourself for is this could be the Shea Patterson game. Ohio State is susceptible to, like, hold on, who did what? It feels like every couple of weeks it's, you know, this Maryland running back or the entirety of Purdue. I would not be shocked if on Sunday people are like, Shea Patterson, bearer of the Michigan Standard, proud alum, long associated son, foster child, brought in 470 yards, 4 touchdowns, the bravest.
They're doing things like trying to link him to Tom Harmon by bloodline, right? Like,
can we get him? Beckler is Charlemagne.
Yeah, they're like, we found him, eighth cousin by blood, Michigan man from birth.
Lived in Brian Greasy's garage for a year.
Brian didn't know it, but Brian isn't the most aware kind of guy.
Brian Greasy thought he was a very large squirrel and befriended him.
That nut diet, all nuts, bro. I got so ripped. Just lean fats, lean healthy fats. Yeah, this will be. I mean, I really want Michigan to win because I want to see what happens on the other side. But realistically, there are many, many reasons to think this, including, as you mentioned, Shea Patterson. Because have you watched the linebackers and safeties work together on the Ohio State defense?
No, because they don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, no one has.
Yeah, no one has. So, you know, those little like zone read fakes and QB runs? Oh, yeah. Just watch what happens. It's going to be a train wreck back there.
Ohio State's back seven is IKEA furniture hastily put together. All the pieces are there, but oh, you missed some steps, didn't you? It's leaning in a way that it should not be.
All the pieces are great. The pieces are great. There's just a couple upside down.
You forgot a peg.
You always forget a dowel. You always will.
Yeah, this is a dowel-free defense. Mm-hmm.
So elsewhere at noon, you have... So a lot of people have done this, and I believe I have at least once or twice as well, going ahead and projecting this like total Armageddon scenario where Georgia beats Bama in the SEC title game. Obviously, Georgia has to take a playoff spot. Bama, I don't know why they would fall much further than fourth, if at all. So maybe we get for like everyth year in a row, Bama versus Ohio State for a playoff spot, something like that. What this overlooks, Georgia has to beat Georgia Tech first. And that's not all that hard, but it's not all that easy either.
Mm-hmm. Because how many
two years ago, Kirby Smart lost to Paul Johnson with comparable talent level.
And Georgia Tech's kind of playing well lately. Like they're on a 4-game win streak. They've only lost one of their last 7. They started the year real shitty, but they've kind of turned a corner. They beat a pretty good UVA team, and they beat a Miami team that had every incentive not to lose. They destroyed Virginia Tech. Like they're quiet, but they are feisty.
I think they've stabilized a bit, and if nothing else, they'll really piss you off.
Yeah.
So
that's the most important thing here. Not that Georgia Tech beats Georgia, but that everyone leaves the game angry, which a bunch of chop blocks, right? Like 3 hours of chop blocks. Yeah, that'll rile up the blood.
God damn it, Danielle. I'm not coming back. We're not inviting them over next year. I don't care if he's your brother. I fucking hate him.
Hey, Paul.
He pisses in the bathroom sink, and he does it just to piss me off.
Yeah. Remember, Georgia Tech, we may not win, but you'll be so, so goddamn irritated by the time you're done with us.
We also have Florida FSU. Florida should win.
Florida should win. Killing Florida State's bowl streak. And yet, I can't. Yeah. I hate that I'm like this because I recognize that I'm just being an asshole now. But part of me is just like, well, they won't. I mean, and that's just me being a stupid dipshit. I don't have any better reason than that. Florida should beat Florida State. Florida should cause a ton of problems for Florida State's offense. Florida mm-hmm. State's defense is okay, but inconsistent. Florida has like shown a very impressive ability to not let a slow start ruin an entire fucking game for them.
Mm-hmm. And to stick with the run.
Gotten
back into games where they were down in two or three games by just continuing to run the ball.
They've made good halftime adjustments in lots of games. Games that they were behind, games that were close, whatever. Yeah. And yet some part of me still is just like real, real shitty about it. And I hate that part, but it's here forever. The doctors can't remove it.
Yeah, so you get what being a Falcons fan is like.
There you go.
You were saying you didn't understand. You deeply understand.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Yeah. Can I offer up the Sandman's lock of the week?
Please.
Hit it.
NC State -6 at North Carolina. Why is it only -6? I don't know. That's why I took it.
The Sandman tryptophan. Sleepy time lock of the week.
So the Sandman 15-10 last week, by the way, big bounce back week, up to 53.8% for the year. That is very good, by the way.
83-1 on the season. Amazing.
Which for the listener who blamed Holly for this, because this is Holly's gambling podcast. And
I've been confused with Ryan and Spencer, but never you.
Yeah, we are now all indistinguishable.
Yeah.
Oh, so Holly, as my benefactor, my funder, apparently, I'm going to win this for you, Chief. On this earth. Yeah.
Holly is the George Soros of this podcast.
Jason is the legless soldier who's going to pilot me through a blue planet.
Then we're all gonna let's see.
With our tentacles.
Wait.
1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. Bunch of little teams playing.
Don't gloss over the butt bowl.
Oh, you're gonna do it.
We're not to it yet.
It's new. No,
BU versus TT.
Oh, there it is.
The butt bowl.
Winner
is bowl eligible. Loser is not. Correct.
Yep. Mm-hmm. The winner is bowl butt, and the loser is just butt.
Just home butt.
Cliff Plain Kingsbury is out on his butt.
Holiday his sweet butt. Yeah, that would be. Keep an eye on that. On developing situations. And Lubbock.
This game is. It gets even more butt because it's at Jerry World.
Yeah, it's big televised butt. Woo! I put the butt on a screen.
Gonna be a lot of tight angles there. A lot of okay. Just zoom. Yeah, just crop that. Good. Good. Do not go above row 12. Do not.
Yeah, the crowd shots. Yeah, this game is every year. It you look at the stadium a good solid 40% full and just ask yourself why is this?
Because Jerry wants to watch something on Saturday.
Jerry wants a big old butt in his house.
Look, I'm gonna put that butt on the Jumbotron. I'm Jerry Jones. No one can stop me.
That big fat butt up there.
God, it's sad how true that is.
Got a butt the size of a private plane.
Jerry Jones just had the sense to want sensible things, you know? He's not one of these people. He's not one of these billionaires who says, what I really want to do is be a space baron. No, Jerry Jones' ambitions in life are to get Baylor and Texas Tech to play at his gigantic, huge flip phone of a stadium. And he got it done. He made it happen. All he wants to do is get drunk, have ladies be like, hello, Mr. Jones. And he'll be like, hello, ladies. And then
you can call me the chairman.
Yeah. I'm like a sexy grandpa. You are.
Because I own 100,000 chairs.
That's it. That's all Jerry. Like, what do you want to do? I want to own the Dallas Cowboys and be rich as hell. There you go.
I've jacked off in every seat in this stadium.
You know what's great about college football is that if someone had turned on the podcast right then, they would have known exactly who you're talking about and what stadium you're talking about without you saying anything else.
Oh, Jerry, you stupid, horny old man.
That could have been Dana Holgerson, actually.
Fair.
Yeah.
Fair. Yeah. It's not that big of a stadium.
Dana would have been more morose about it. Yeah, I jacked off in every seat in that stadium.
It's time to clear out of town.
A man's got needs. We have at 3:30 Auburn at Alabama. So Alabama's going to win that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can we point out that Auburn is also currently playing Duke in basketball? What's wrong with y'all?
Ambitious.
Rough week.
Ambitious. Putting their yes on the table, letting the Lord answer.
Yeah, no. here's the Lord. Just, I want to do your will, Lord. Lose to Alabama by 30. That's my will.
Are you sure? I'm absolutely sure.
I think he's pretty sure.
Lord, just send me a signal. Giant eagle falls from the sky dead at your feet. Okay, is that bad?
Lord, if it be your will, take this Nick Saban sippy cup from my... No? All right.
Yeah.
If you more importantly, at 3:30, Pitt is playing.
Ranked
Pitt is playing.
Ranked Pitt. Ranked
number 24,
Pitt. Ranked Pitt.
And here's what I want out of Pitt. The super weapon ranked is fully charged, but I don't think it's aimed quite right directly at Clemson next week. Here's what we need. Pitt, you're going to Miami. You need to get your ass kicked by Miami. Just really power up.
Yeah, lose by 30 here. Cough it the hell up.
If Pitt loses by 20 or more, Clemson is done.
Finished.
So, I told you how expensive tickets were for the Ohio State Michigan game. Spencer, let's tell me a general seat that you want for this game in beautiful Hard Rock Stadium in Miami Gardens, Florida. You tell me generally where you want to sit, and I'm going to tell you where I can get you. How much that's going to cost?
I want to be about on the 35-yard line.
Okay.
Not sideline, but next section up. If you can just give me next tier up.
Next tier, not the lowest tier, the tier above that?
Yeah. I'm being modest. I'm like, yeah, give me one of those.
All right, so let's see. I'm going to put you here in upper sideline. Let's go ahead and give you a good row here. How about row 18? Does that work for you?
Sure.
Oh, wait, I can do that. I'll do row 1. I'll go ahead and get you front and center.
Ooh, an aristocrat.
$20. Now, if you want to go fancy, if you do want to sit on the 50, you know, let's say row 20. That seemed pretty good.
Yeah.
$75.
Great. Damn.
Yeah.
They want you in the casino that bad.
On the other hand, who is spending $75 to go see a Pitt Miami game? These prices are crazy.
If I were within serious driving distance and didn't have other things to do, me, brother. Me.
Yeah. This is the game they should play on Thanksgiving, by the way, because Pitt Miami is the perfect I need an excuse to not see my relatives game. Oh, I got it. Yeah, I got a work thing.
I gotta watch. Pitt is ranked.
They'll understand what that means. That you hate them. They'll get that.
In the territorial cup, Arizona State at Arizona. This is the original chicken bet of the season. This is winner take all. Arizona State wins. The dreaded 38 Godfrey takes the chicken bet and moves to 1-2, meaning he would still owe me and probably never pay up. If Arizona wins, it is triple.
What is the spread on this game?
Let's see. I think it's ASU by like a point, something like that.
Giving.
But we're not doing the spread. We're doing straight up.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. I was just curious what the sharps.
It's ASU by 2 at Arizona.
Right.
That would be giving what Herm Edwards 7 wins in his first season and the Territorial Cup.
Yeah, and I think that puts him finishing second in the division.
And he hasn't coached in like 4 decades.
Can we just give him the USC job?
Yeah, on the way, brother. Let's do it. Just go west, Herm. They might do that. You and I are joking, but
why not?
They would be. I mean, he did go 7. He did win 7 games.
Yeah. So that's more,
and
right?
And he's got a great attitude. Apparently, that's the people you can see. The one thing I did want to mention, I don't want to spend any longer than like 15 seconds saying this, but the worst possible finish I can imagine for your season would be this: Rutgers at Michigan State at 4 p.m. in East Lansing, with the sun dying behind the lip of the stadium in the early first quarter, the temperature plummeting, and you're Rutgers.
Fuck.
Dear God.
Why?
Yeah. Next game. Don't dwell on the doom. Don't dwell on the gloom that long.
Speaking of gloom, South Carolina gets to go to Clemson.
Ooh, you skipped right over where I thought you were going to go. So that's okay.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, we don't really need to talk about Tennessee Vandy. That's a bit too dark.
The other game I do want real briefly. Just FAU is not bowl eligible right now, and they host Charlotte, who they should be able to beat. But that's a school with a job opening, and you know that's going to distract Lane. You know he's going to be very of two minds when this game comes around.
He wants that Charlotte job.
He wants that Charlotte job.
But in order to get the Charlotte job.
Panthers job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
He wants to go everywhere Mike Shula has been.
Yeah, I will eclipse him.
He's stalking that perfect Mike Shula pelt. I did like that we entered the year assuming Kiffin would absolutely be gone for a mid to high tier P5 job.
Yeah.
You know, he just got to bank his 10 wins and then he's out of here cashing a check. And guess who's going to be coaching FAU in 2019? Lane Kiffin. Because that stuff about he's a changed man, better coach, got it all together. Nick Saban turned him around. He's still a pretty good coach, but 6-6 ain't gonna get it.
Man, it's great to imagine like 60-year-old Lane Kiffin still coaching FAU. Just FAU never got legend. Just never got out of this town. Don't know what happened. I had dreams once.
The Boca Raton institution.
You wanna get on this boat with me? I live on it.
Still the youngest man in Boca.
This is a van. Yeah. It can't be a boat though.
Yeah, like Lane Kiffin gets super grizzled next year, right?
Actually, Boca won't even be there in 20 years, 30 years.
Perfect. Perfect.
So that's how Lane gets out.
Yeah.
Floats to a new job.
Got to get a new gig. It's just me and Houston. Me and Houston Nut on a raft.
Looks like I'm going to Italy.
Oh, this is another Clemson, South Carolina, like,
Oh, God. So this Saturday, just really looking at the scope of things, it starts hot as all hell. Michigan, Ohio State. The middle slate is, but then this night spot is just murder in every direction. South Carolina, you got to go to Clemson. Louisville, you got to try to score points on Kentucky. Kansas State is playing football.
And it's actually worse that that's a home game for Louisville because it just means it's going to be so many fucking Kentucky fans.
Right, yeah. San Jose State, arguably the worst team in the country. You got to go play the Fresno State Buzzsaw. This is just awful, man. Notre Dame gets to play USC.
You want to know a sour, bitter, potentially very nasty, immediately back with your ass on the hot seat finish here? LSU at Texas A&M. If LSU rolls in and they tank in the hate barn against the Aggies, oh, that's a bad finish for Coach O. Seriously, bad finish.
It feels like we've been marking this one a W for LSU for a really long time. A&M's favored. So.
Well, you know why?
Because Jimbo placed a big old bet on himself?
Because Jimbo's building something, okay? It's a long-term construct. Like, the Death Star took forever to build. Couldn't just do it in a week, a year. Cost way more than $70 million, probably.
Did it?
I don't know the conversion rates. I say all this because it's time for some advertiser content to help inspire your holiday gift giving. And with the theme of building, we have a very special advertiser message from the Lego store and shop.lego.com.
This is the story of how a single childhood gift sparked a lifetime of creativity. It began with those tiny, colorful bricks that we're all familiar with.
Once I started building with Lego, it really clicked with my brain.
It really is this versatile medium of creation.
That's Grant Davis and Jason Olliman. They worked together on this year's winning concept for Lego Ideas, a platform for fans to showcase builds and possibly have them manufactured by the company. They created a workable pop-up book that tells the stories of Jack and the Beanstalk and Little Red Riding Hood, complete with a 3D grandmother's cottage and a telescoping beanstalk.
I can't remember a time when I didn't want to make a Lego pop-up book.
When he posted one of his prototypes, as soon as I watched that video, I'm like, why didn't I think of that?
Like a lot of us, Grant and Jason got Lego sets as kids, and those early gifts continue to influence them to this day.
So the first ever set I got as a gift was this little temple in the jungle, and there was a mean lion.
The first Technic forklift. It just blew my young mind that you could make these things that, like, gears that mesh together and a steering system that worked out of these, like, little plastic pieces.
For the record, Grant builds and photographs intricate jungle-themed Lego worlds, and Jason creates kinetic Lego sculptures. They trace that back to those first childhood sets. And now, the pop-up book set that they collaborated on will inspire the next generation of Lego builders.
When I think about the fact that some kid might get my set for Christmas, it makes me think that, you know, I'm going to be influencing the next generation, providing them with the imagination and the initiative to start making their own things, their own stories.
With Lego, every gift has a story. Start your story today at your local Lego store.
Thank you for that message from our sponsor, the Lego Store. To learn more, go to lego.build/shutdown. That's lego.build/shutdown. Or simply tap the link in the show notes to get started. Or get Jimbo Fisher's phone number and ask it. Like, do you know how much money he has? He can absolutely buy you some Legos.
Yeah. Also, if you email me and you say, which Lego set should I buy for someone? I will tell you.
That's the only email Spencer will respond to.
You will.
Spencer can get the email that's like, you have to sign up for health insurance today or you won't have any. I don't know. That's not Legos. Delete.
I actually did that one.
Are you sure?
All right. Look at that.
I did. So achievement unlocked. I answered the email.
You get some Legos for that, buddy.
Exactly. Spencer@sbnation.com. Email me.
Wow.
And I will actually answer your Lego questions. If it's not a Lego question, I'm not going to answer it. But if you have
a... So quit asking.
Don't try to sneak in another question with subject line. Lego question for my good Lego dad? No, don't do that. And then put something else in there. Don't besmirch Legos like that. No, don't use like that. Legos to betray our trust.
Yeah, but I will answer it if it's a sincere Lego question. And if not, I will hunt you down.
Hmm. Wait, really?
It's a big risk.
Next question.
So quit asking.
Are there any other games that we want to talk about?
One with potential spoiler like capabilities here that won't happen. However, just for entertainment's sake, Notre Dame has to go to a very troubled USC.
No.
They got to go pretty far. USC's got a lot to play for. USC's got a talented roster.
USC's a bad
Clay team. Helton's backed into a corner. He's like a Wolverine.
He's like Mystique, actually. He just blends in.
No, he's like he's like the senator who washed up as a jellyfish.
He's like Wolverine in that everyone draws him wildly differently.
Fight on!
Yeah, that and the Holy War. Holy War, BYU at Utah, which, this is actually a little... It's not Kentucky Louisville. Good. And boy, that says something. But BYU Utah... I always find it entertaining because it's two groups of people who are mostly the same, just with a couple of you just kind of have to crank up the Mormonness on the BYU side just a little bit higher. Otherwise, two people who are really the same who are like, we should slaughter each other. We are totally different.
You know what's secretly going to be the fussiest game of the night slate?
Hmm.
Oklahoma State at TCU. TCU has had a rough year. They need this game to get bowl eligible. Oklahoma State has been maybe simultaneously the most, they're basically the Pitt of the Big 12, if we're being honest. And
yeah,
but they're real fussy about that too. They don't want to be the Pitt of the Big 12. I feel like this has a real potential for just some dumb, angry.
No, that's
some men who don't know how to handle feelings. That's what this game's going to be.
That's the fed up game, right? If I ask each of you what the fed up game, where the underdog is just going to turn around after a hard year, this inevitably happens on rivalry weekend, right? Yeah. There's one team that just turns around and is like, you know what? I'm scarred. I'm ugly. I'm broke. Let's step outside. I got a bottle. And we're gonna see if I can just get a little karmic justice right here and right now. And that inevitably happens, right? Usually happens in the Territorial Cup. I don't know, oh, Arizona State comes in 7-5, and oh man,
loses by 30,
right? Because Arizona's just like, I had it. I hate you so much. I'm gonna make you ugly like me. where else on this schedule do you see a game where somebody can bring someone else down to their level?
I mean, Rutgers, Michigan State, maybe, but for all of the wrong reasons.
All the wrong reasons, yeah.
Illinois, Northwestern.
Rutgers, Michigan State only has that potential in the sense of Rutgers being like, I'm drowning and you're coming to the bottom of the sea with me. I don't care if we both die.
Rutgers is like, we will hold this game below 10 points. And Michigan State is like,
okay.
That sounds wonderful.
Boy, you want to get married?
No wonder we spend Thanksgiving together.
I could see that happening. I can also see, by the way, they've had a real hard year. It's been a mess. And the other team coming in is favored, but not necessarily at the greatest juncture in their development as a squad. Oregon at Oregon State.
Oh, I thought you were going to say I thought you were going to say Maryland at Penn State.
No, no one should watch that game.
Okay. And I won't.
Can we mention Utah State at Boise State?
Yeah.
Ooh.
I think the late spot is really good because you have BYU Utah. Utah's pretty good. BYU's pretty good. And they fucking hate each other. Utah State, Boise State. Utah State is really good. And the winner of this goes on to play Fresno for the Mountain West title. There's a lot to play for. The 10 o'clock Eastern hour onward, it's a really good way to shut things down.
You're going to feel like shit at this point. You'll have eaten a lot of food for Thanksgiving. You'll have eaten more of that over the course of the next 2 days. You won't have had enough water. You will have watched too much television. You will have fought with your loved ones over some shit you shouldn't have fought over, or some shit you should have. You will have spent money that you shouldn't have spent, and for things that you didn't need. And so you're going to be in a weird place.
Is this the dick pills read?
You're going to be in a weird place and have to fuck your way out of it.
Holly is taking Lego money away from us, and I've never been so mad. I mean, I have.
Joe has some thoughts.
I do have one more thing I would like us to do before we close the show. Apparently nobody cares. That's fine.
Go on.
Go on. No. Yeah, we're waiting.
Well, I feel like we've been kind of cranky this season. I feel like we've been sort of, you know, this season sucks and there's been nothing good about it. So I would like us to, you know, in this typical dumb Thanksgiving fashion, I would like us to all say some college football thing that we are thankful for this year. I am happy to go first, but I want us to try to pull something a little sweeter out of this if we can. Don't do it.
I thought you said you're going first.
Yeah, I can go first. This college football season, I am thankful for new coaches not being total disasters, because it looked that way out of the gate. Arizona, boy, that hire looked real rough. Mm-hmm. Scott Frost day, we know how long that lasted. Mm-hmm. UCLA, you looked like a disaster for a good while there, but you've all sort of, you know, shown promise, turned things around. Tennessee has, you know, had some good wins. They have. Tennessee has had some good wins this season, right? Okay, we don't have to talk about Tennessee. If we're going to complain about how it's the same old teams just winning and nobody else is doing anything, I think we should at least be happy that new blood at some of these programs is at least showing potential promise, or not, or maybe the better way to put it is not becoming a disaster right immediately in year one, which a lot of these programs couldn't say. That's it. That's what I'm thankful for.
Yeah, that's good. I think one way to look at that is we're investing in a shitty 2018 for a better 2019 and beyond. Nebraska, UCLA, Florida State, so on and so forth.
Whoever Louisville hires.
Who could imagine who Louisville would hire? There are so many names to choose from. How could you settle on just one? Just one, one very obvious one. That would be so difficult. I think on a similar note, even within 2018 itself, I think all this mediocrity and shittiness can build to something great, because for all the complaints, the playoff this year should be fucking awesome. Bama versus Clemson. Yes, we know that's going to happen. It might be the best addition yet, at least in terms of team quality. And if Michigan gets in, Michigan's really fucking good. If Notre Dame gets in, we get to watch Notre Dame lose. That's a great playoff.
Yeah.
Also, at the FCS level, I'm thankful that James Madison can probably soften North Dakota State up before they kill my team. So it'll go a little easier for me, at least.
I am thankful for the Big 12 for giving us the only real sort of consistently wacky, entertaining college football, style college football of the year. They're the only people who did it. It peaked on November 5th against Texas at the end of the game, when they could have tied with Texas. Instead, they decided to go for the win. I'm paraphrasing, of course, because what Dana Holgorsen actually said after two consecutive timeouts, right, called by Texas, they decided to run the same play, and Dana Holgorsen looked at Will Greer, slapped him on the helmet, and said, "Hey, you want to win the game? Let's fucking win the game." And they went out and did that. And that was a blessing. I said today in a piece that there really weren't any bangers. I don't know. That's a banger. But that game was magnificent. So thanks to the Big 12. Also, If I can shout out something super internet wise, I would shout out at Beweather Johnson for giving me the image that for me has been this entire season, which is from an Iowa bathroom remodeling company named Beyond Bath. Beyond Bath's work has been a staple of mine online. And you know what? Personally, as just, you know, as a person, as somebody trying to get through life one day at a time, it's given me great comfort to think of a lady who looks drunk as hell sitting in a bathtub drinking a beer in a freshly remodeled bathroom with a carpeted toilet cover. That's, yeah, man. So thanks to Beyond Bath of Iowa, because that's, I believe that's LSE Designs. Yep, LSE Designs out of Des Moines. Thanks so much, y'all.
Yeah, they sponsor us.
Not a bottled beer or a can of beer, like a glass. She took the time.
And not like if we say lady in the bathtub, it's not like, ooh, sexy image. Like, no, this lady's drunk.
No, it's utilitarian.
Right, yeah, it's more we are all this lady than like.
The movie is situational and incidental.
Holly, what are you thankful for?
I was actually going to say West Virginia as my ancestral team for drawing my attention away from my alma mater, who insists upon, yeah, y'all know how I feel about that. But Spencer kind of already said everything that I wanted to say about West Virginia. So instead, I will pivot to Paul Johnson, who is not always someone who I have admired, whose teams are not always someone I have enjoyed watching play. But the past couple of years, as I've kind of roamed in the wilderness, emotionally speaking, football-wise, football emotionally speaking, looking for some place else to play my heart, this, I have never seen, and I know these guys exist, I've never seen somewhere the juxtaposition of a guy who is such a goddamn grumpus, whose players love playing for him, visibly love playing for him so much. It is so clear in his every action during games that he doesn't give a shit about anything but his players. And that's beautiful, man. I would die for Paul Johnson right now. Like Paul Johnson yucking it up on the sidelines with his players after Georgia Tech gets a sideline warning. Paul Johnson, like cuffing his players on the shoulder and mocking the officials after they warn Georgia Tech's bench during a blowout win. Fuck yes, man. I think he would as soon slit my throat as look at me, and I would die for Paul Johnson, the porch cat of college football.
The best Paul Johnson moment ever was in the Sun Bowl when – it's not the best Paul Johnson moment. It's the best Paul Johnson and player moment. It was in the Sun Bowl when the MVP, I can't remember, he's one of the B-backs, was asked to talk about how much the win meant and had, you know, I think at one point they had like, he'd fumbled and then he came back on and scored a TD. Anyway, he said, so, you know, tell me about that. And the running back goes, oh man, shit. And he does that on a live mic. And in the background, Paul Johnson falls out laughing. Like, not even like, oops, he cussed. Paul Johnson's like, ha, 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 that's my man. Like,
there's like, absolutely no pretense to this man at all. And that's not really something you can say about a whole lot of people in the sport.
Kentucky being good, I'm also thankful for.
Man.
It came at the expense of Florida and that winning streak. But that's like, it should not be lost upon us that 10-win Kentucky, still entirely possible.
Yeah, that's a pretty good game.
That's fucked up. That's wild. I'm also thankful for whoever found and published the behind-the-scenes footage of the recording of the Chili's Baby Back Ribs song.
Now you're going to make him sing it again.
No, I'm not. No.
You just put a quarterback in that jukebox. I'm thankful that Spencer's in Florida.
Spencer, you can sing it as Casio Dog.
Yeah, Ruff, 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 ruff.